A bare bulb shone down yellowish light from a dirty fixture in the ceiling, and toilet paper was littered all over the floor. A small empty baggie, which had probably held cocaine, sat on the edge of the sink, and the space smelled strongly of stale urine. If this wasn't a fitting punishment for her cowardice a moment ago, Aurora didn't know what was. What had she even been scared of? That thing was gross, sure, and its magic felt like a sticky film along her skin, but its actual power hadn't somersaulted her like Auntie Jessie's or Uncle Ozzie's could have. And when Auntie Jessie let her magic surge, it was so powerful it threatened to drag Aurora down into the depths of subconscious. But this thing? She shivered. Honestly, at any other time, she wouldn't have admitted to her fear. She'd been trained to keep all emotion behind a facade so that enemies couldn't see her weaknesses. Except her dad had never told her about creatures that seemed to feel weakness, or maybe smell it. There were clearly worse things than challenges in the world, and some of them just turned up willy-nilly in dive bars. Oh God. Had that been one of Neve's concerns? Was this why she'd followed Aurora? Why Sue had warned her against going out on her own? She'd assumed they were trying to rein her in for the same reasons her father, or her mother, or the last Beta had.
Don't go out on your own, Aurora.
You don't know who's watching.
Don't relax too much.
The pack has expectations.
She had wanted to finally unwind, laugh if she wanted to, smile, show some sort of emotion, like the gargoyles did so freely, to not worry about anyone's expectations, or how much thigh she was showing, or how her actions might reflect on the alpha, maybe flirt without worrying about the boy's status, go home with someone without it being a huge event. Suddenly, the warnings made a lot more sense. She felt like a fool for making them chase her, for sneaking out and hiding. She took another sip of the drink she'd carried in with her. The taste sharp, but flavors coming through. Cinnamon, cocoa, and citrus. The ice chilled it enough that it wasn't a punch in the face, and the rind helped bring forward the natural citrus in the bourbon. Sue had known exactly what would work. The man was perceptive. Speaking of, she pulled open the door a crack. Leaning forward to speak, he half turned. His gaze pointed toward the bar and his movements always so fluid. Reaching back, he grabbed the door handle without distinctly looking and pulled it shut again. She sighed. He always treated her like a treasured object, watching over her so Uncle Ozzy didn't have to. But this was a little much. She wasn't a Jane. She wasn't still learning the ropes like Auntie Jessie. And she wasn't a child. Taking a breath, she twisted the handle and pulled. The door barely moved an inch before it was yanked shut again. She had no idea why that made her look to the heavens with a little smile. Mr. Scary Alpha, with all his scars, all the growls, the stern looks, the aloofness, inside, he was a warm puddle of goo, hoping someone would make him a daisy chain and ask to be friends. He did a terrible job of hiding it. She spoke through the door. I'm good. I'm good to return. I was just a little taken aback is all. I've never seen something like that before.
Like, neither have I, but it didn't have the same sort of interest in me as it did in you. Neither of us are wanted anyway. This is Neve's territory. We need to let her handle the situation, without distractions.
Heard. Can I come out now, though? It stinks in here. Nothing happened. Sue, I followed instructions. I did as she asked. I shouldn't be punished for that. Another pause. It's making my bourbon taste bad. The door bumped against the frame, broken Sue releasing the catch. And then it swung her way. She caught it and opened it slowly, relishing in the clean, or at least not as rank as the bathroom, fragrance from beyond. She stepped out with composure and allowed him to step to her right, positioning himself in the path of danger should it come this way. What's happened?
They're just talking.
Body language? He barely moved, just a flare of certain muscles along his arm and through his broad shoulders. She understood every syllable in the way her father had taught her, a master at subtle body movement.
Touch and go. Tension.
One day, she hoped to get Sue's history, to find out who'd trained him and how. She could learn a lot from him, when his pain wasn't so sharp, of course. When he wasn't guarding his heart with the claws of a hurt and desperate man. She understood that pain, though it wasn't nearly the same as hers. She'd finally gotten her uncle back. Her broken family had reunited and become whole again. His never would. Neve?
Leading the conversation, though not relaxed. She's wary of this creature, though it isn't a total stranger. That means it's highly dangerous. I hope she's doing damage control and not inviting it into the fold.
Aurora took a step forward to see. Sue stepped in unison, even though his gaze was turned away. Huh, do you dance? She touched his arm lightly. He flexed, not planning on taking the silent request and stepping out of the way. Those with a detailed understanding of body language usually make great dancers. He didn't comment, but the tightening of his body was answer enough.
Not since.
Just let me see. She was persistent in her touch. Showing her stubbornness, he tilted his head just a bit.
You're annoying me.
He did take a step back, though, just enough to let her peer around his big arm. The angle of Neve's body was off, not at all like when she'd been sitting at the bar earlier. She was leaning away a little for one, as though she thought it possible the creature might lunge for her. Two, she was clearly ready to combat it, forearms on the bar and ready for use. And three, there was a strange sort of aura around her. Magic, definitely. Not shadows and darkness like Aurora might have expected from Neve's personality, but a sort of shimmer, like a sparkle. Neve is the last person I would have expected to sparkle. Sue grunted, his version of a laugh.
Agreed.
Aurora edged out a little more to get a better look at the creature. The suit was all wrong, but she couldn't pinpoint why. The jacket fit well enough, though it was a little big in some places and small in others. From what she could see of the pants, they were the same, black on black matching. But there was a stretch in one shoulder and not the other. The hem seemed high on one side and not on the other. Or was that a trick of the eyes? His feet hung strangely too. One a little off kilter and neither resting on the footrest of his stool. His hands hung limp, as though he didn't have use of them. But she'd seen them move. The greased hair. The list was long. All the little details didn't add up to the whole.
The dark wisps rising from Ezra's person intensified, heightening the smell. For anyone else, a shock of terror would have filled them with dread. Their hearts would become hunted rabbits. Neve was immune, however. Something about the origins of her magic reducing her susceptibility to creatures of the Shadow and Death March realms.
You will not
Can you fellas procreate?
What?
Throwing him off his outrage was a lot easier these days. His minimalistic diet was showing.
No.
He looked into his lap.
My genitals didn't survive the rotting period.
He shook his head at her.
I see nothing has changed with you. Always poking right where it hurts the most.
That wasn't intentional.
And for your information, Vulcan means disaster, like a volcano. It's a fitting name.
Is it now? What disaster have you caused?
What is it the dicks say? Dress for the job you desire?
Aha! Well, the dicks are gonna make fun of you if you don't change your name. The barman very slowly worked his way down the bar, the other patrons having left.
Something for your friend?
A cheap whiskey will do him rightly. Cider first, though. She sent him quickly away. The revenant laced his spindly fingers on the bar.
You run with shifters now. Those two little mice who scurried away were shifters, correct? There aren't many in this city, but I come across their scents every now and again.
Oh, yes, he'd been around. He was casing the city, it seemed like. Maybe had been for a while. Immortals didn't tend to move as quickly when they got older. Neve had surely slowed down, content on her porch, happy in pseudo-retirement. She'd gotten a nudge, though, and was slowly but surely waking up. Stretching back into her old life. The process took some time, but as she got the wheels a bit more greased up and got rolling, things had started moving faster and faster. This creature would be no different. He just needed to be properly fed. She'd have to speak to Tristan to see if he had any ideas about that. I run with some of them. Gargoyles, too. Remember those?
Ah, yes. Gargoyles. Useless. Too stubborn to admit their fear, and because of that, dead too quickly to really suffer. I've never had much to do with them. Bad feeding. I haven't seen them in an age.
They're mostly isolated these days. Anyway, Ivy House has found a new heir. Know anything about that?
Ivy House? Yes. I met one of the heirs. Visiting a king in...
He tilted his head upward in thought. The barman hurried over with the whiskey and placed it on the very edge of the bar before backing away. Neve sighed. He clearly didn't plan on getting her the cider. She pointed at the whiskey. Are you going to drink that?
Vulcan slid it her way.
I would certainly rather not. But I would have if you insisted.
That's why I got you a cheap shot. Joke's on me. He went back to thinking.
No, it was a queen I was visiting. Victoria, I believe. The heir was headstrong and powerful, I remember, but very fond of opium and the like. She was sent away shortly after arriving. Or was she assassinated shortly afterward? I can't remember the timeline. She was assassinated, I know, I'm just not sure when. I remember trying to get in contact with her for a trade she alluded to, but then I heard the news.
Assassinated by her lover?
No, she had many of those, and they were all gargoyles. Loyal to the letter. Made it damned hard to get in a room alone with her. Always naked, too. Flaunting their perfectly sculpted, intact bodies. Distasteful.
The point?
Yes.
His tatters rustled.
Speaking to you is like trying to shake off the dust and wipe away the cobwebs in order to see out a window.
Poetic. She threw back the shot. She needed a vat of the stuff to be comfortable in this thing's presence.
She was assassinated over a deal gone bad, I think. She probably initiated it when she was out of her mind, didn't follow through or forgot about it entirely, and was held accountable. I have a feeling it would have gone similarly between the two of us if someone hadn't already gotten to her.
That's the only dealing you've had with Ivy House? I never interacted with any heirs until I found myself in O'Brien's, contemplating retirement. I don't know many details about its history. His frame tightened a little.
Are you trying to get free information out of me, Neve?
She was getting nothing but, actually. That layer of dust was mighty thick. He had a lot of catching up to do. Neve wondered if she should point him in the direction of Momar so he could work his way up through the ranks. He'd be on the outskirts at the start, but there would be plenty of pain and suffering for him to consume, and he might eventually work deep into the organization. That or the Mage's Guild. There were options for him to exploit there. And again, he'd want to take over running it. And then they'd have a new, more sinister enemy to confront. She needed a brainstorming session, not a hasty decision in a bar. Certainly not in this bar, at any rate. The stool wasn't comfortable enough for long-term seating. Just curious is all. She checked the time. I've got to be running.
The air this time around.
He tapped his bony fingers against the bar.
Is she just as powerful? Does she show interest in politics?
You don't know the first thing about magical politics right now, wandering around the streets like a zombie. But if you did, you know how you had a hard time getting the other heir alone because of all the gargoyles? She pushed off her stool, Well, this time I handle the deals with dickless creatures. If you have a query, you go through me. His hiss said she had the upper hand. It also said she had something he wanted. He'd assume this heir could give him whatever the last heir didn't. A willy, perhaps. Who knew? In life, the man had been vain. He'd always sought to improve his appearance, his image. He'd always wanted the prettiest women or men in his bed, the prettiest things around him. And now he was a peeling flesh popsicle. Fate could be a cruel mistress. He talked of information. She knew more about him than he could dream to know about her. In truth, it was her cousin who'd poisoned the man. She had no idea why, nor did she know why the man had presumed it was his wife who'd done it. Nor had she cared. When she saw an inn, she took it. Just like now. If Niamh judged the situation correctly, he'd get in contact again. He'd seek to make a deal. It would open a door for Niamh. She just had to figure out how a revenant, a dangerous creature to allow too close, could work into her plans. What were the odds of coming across a creature like that? A master of disguises, and the sort of fear only death could inspire. On holiday. She didn't yet know if it was a gift or a curse.
He's an illusion, isn't he? Aurora realized she was now bodily leaning against Sue, clutching his arm. She couldn't seem to pull herself away. Despite her pep talk in the bathroom, she had to own that, yeah, that thing freaked her out. She didn't know exactly why, but something about that creature was a nope. For the first time in her life, she was happy to let someone else handle it.
I don't know. It's not what it seems. Well, that much I know. I'd like Alpha Steele's take on it. He's better at reading strange creatures.
Or maybe Tristan's. She tried to will herself to push away from Sue, but was unable to do so. He didn't shrug her off either. A rarity for a man who seemed to shrug everyone away. That thing out there had him rattled.
Aye, maybe Tristan's.
At the bar, Niamh pushed off her stool to standing. Sue twisted a little and bent his arm around Aurora, pressing her into his broad back. She clung onto him like a spider monkey, leaning to peek around his bicep, shaking a little. I feel like a coward.
You and me both.
His body said he was laughing at himself to admit it.
I don't fear death, but I'm glad you walked away first. That means I get the job of hiding back here under the guise of protecting you. I have a reputation to uphold, after all. Pishing myself because of a creature in a slick suit doesn't fit my image.
If they were gargoyles, she'd have buried her face into his back to muffle her laughter. Instead, she had to settle for leaning harder into him, swaying, showing with her body how hilarious she found his joke, how welcome. Because no, he'd never have walked away first. He'd mastered his fear, she knew that. All the same, it was really nice of him to let her off the hook. It made the things he'd said earlier, when he hadn't, much more poignant.
Right so.
Niamh peeled some money off a wad that had been in her pocket and laid it on the bar. She paused then, staring at the creature.
Do you want an invitation or what? Get on with you. You're making everyone nervous, not to mention you stink. Clean yourself up, like.
You have to hand it to her. She plays a really good game. Aurora and Sue were still locked together, watching the scene from a distance. Please don't ever tell anyone I needed an emotional support beta through all of this. I'm supposed to be the tough, fearless, budding alpha.
I won't tell anyone you hid behind me if you don't tell anyone I made absolutely no move to back Niamh up. I'm pretty sure this is a breach of my duties, but I don't really care. That creature is getting worse by the minute, and I don't know why, and it's starting to really creep me out.
She couldn't help it. The situation was so surreal, so scary, so weird that she buried her face into the crease of his back muscles and laughed. What have I gotten myself into? She pushed her forehead into his muscles and felt them tighten. I wanted a challenge and room to grow. But this? Mages? Okay. Basa Haunik? Glad they're on our side. But this?
Working with a Basa Haun instead of veering away from one was a surprise to me.
He stepped a little more toward the wall. She followed his progress easily, not needing to pull her face away from his back. This was highly unprofessional and unshifter-like, but she didn't care at all. And thankfully, he wasn't insisting on following protocol.
The mages were not pleasant for me to work with, given...
He didn't finish, knowing he didn't have to. Everyone in the pack knew about his history with mages.
The puka would drive a man to insanity.
His arm tightened around her again.
The gargoyles were also an adjustment. Hell, Jesse's whole team requires constant adjustment. At this point, I thought I'd seen it all. After getting familiar with her team and figuring out how not to kill the puka, I really thought I'd seen it all.
At least you were eased in.
True, but... why is that thing so scary?
She laughed into his back again, shaking her head. If I weren't so good at reading body language, I'd think you were trying to humor me.
Which is why I'm being candid. You're one of the few shifters I can't hide things from. Your father is an incredible alpha. The best I've ever seen, Alpha Steel included. He has a temperament that lends well to leadership. A temperament Alpha Steel had to find in Jesse.
She flattened her hands against his slabs of muscle, soaking in their warmth. Thank God they were in the trenches and this didn't count as impropriety, because she was stepping over the line. He was a kind soul for letting her, for being her driftwood out at sea. Thank you for saying that.
Do you miss your family?
Yes and no. We're a very close group, but I crave a little freedom. His arm came away, leaving her grasping at him for a brief moment before she regained her composure. He half turned to her, his dark eyes serious.
You don't have to go out alone to find freedom when you're with this group. Your father is an incredible alpha for a pack of shifters. But Jessie and her gargoyles, her team, have inspired something no pack has cultivated. Alpha Steel is rolling with it in a way no other alpha shifter would. Look, Neve wasn't lying. You can go out with almost anyone and find the freedom you seek. Dress how you want, act how you want, within reason, and dance all night. We work hard and we play hard. We take care of each other. We're a team and we don't sweat the details. And if you get challenged for letting loose...
His eyes sparkled with the answer to his question.
Dominate.
Hands at her sides now. Composure finally sinking in. She inclined her head. Heard. Thank you.
What are you at?
Neve stopped beside them, her hands on her hips.
You better have change, because the barman took off, and all I have are 20s. That clown of a revenant has made it impossible for me to come back to this bar again. There are many things I can bear, but being 86 from a bar when it wasn't my fault is not one of those things.
It was your fault.
Sue pushed forward, and Aurora realized she didn't have her glass in her hand anymore. It lay a foot away where she'd clearly dropped it, something she didn't recall doing. She wondered if Sue had even realized it. Neve followed him, and Aurora hurried to catch up.
Me bollocks! I can't be held responsible for that thing tracking me to this bar.
I'm certain, somehow, that it was.
What was that thing? What? They left the now totally empty bar. Not even the bartender had stuck around. Where'd everyone go?
That clown pulled down his businessman image, and everyone saw what he really looked like. They shot out of the bar like the walls had come alive and tried to grab him.
They turned right, toward a busier street.
Let's grab a ride, Cher.
I can't be arsed. Nothing but chatty wankers, those. No, let's get a cab. Just up here, there's a whole bunch. They mind their business.
Probably because they'd prefer to plead ignorance if there's a murder in the dirty back seat.
Probably.
So what was the outcome of that meeting?
Sue was back to close down and surly. He never seemed to let his personality out for long, a relic of his former job. It felt strange for such a powerful man, such an alpha in mind and in power, to be a beta. Aurora took his transformation as a cue, though, to button up her personality as well. Back to business. Neve sighed, lifting her hand when they got to the curb.
Long story short, that creature could be incredibly helpful or a real nightmare.
And you have no idea which?
Not one shred, no. But if he's helpful, he'll be really helpful.
And if he's not?
A cab pulled up as Neve scowled at Sue.
Did you trip back at that bar, knock your head against the wall and bust free all your sense? Then he'll be a real nightmare, obviously. The risks are big, yes. Ginny Mac, you tried the patience of a saint.
How would you know?
Humor was in the lines of his body again.
Because I am one, Saint McFuckoff!
She turned for the waiting cab.
Now get into this cab! Don't embarrass me!
Stifling a laugh, because Neve's surliness was a riot and somehow endearing, Aurora squeezed into the back seat, taking the middle. Neve gave the name of their destination, and they got underway.
How many of those exist in the world?
Oh, probably only a handful now. It's not easy to thwart the grave, and once you exist the way he does, it's not easy to get along in modern society, as you saw.
And how do you kill them?
Same as most undead. Tear out the heart, cut off the head, things like that.
And how easy is that to manage?
Depends on how long they've been unalive and how many people have tried it before.
And with that one?
It wouldn't be easy. He's never been well liked in life or in death. Many have tried to take him down. He has a sixth sense for evading the grave, I think.
His powers?
Speed, strength, hardiness, magic that makes you unnaturally terrified. He also looks a mess. Trust me, it's not nice to see.
She thought for a bit, as they slowed near a busy area filled with pretty people walking along the sidewalk. The men in tight clothes and the women skimpily dressed.
The magic is similar to Tristan's, don't you think?
Sue shook his head slowly.
Both can make someone unnaturally terrified. But the feeling is much different.
Except Tristan has never used his magic on you directly.
He has. I asked him to. I wanted to know the effects. Just in case.
Neve bent forward to look across Aurora at Sue, a grin pulling at her lips.
Just in case he turned out to be an enemy, or double-crossed us. Or maybe you think that if we find out all his secrets, he'll seek to bring us down so we can't tell anyone.
Sue didn't look at her.
It never hurts to be cautious.
I bet you aren't so cautious with shifters.
I am exactly as cautious with shifters. I know what happens when a pack is too trusting.
Neve frowned at him and leaned back again.
Why do you always insist on clubbing people over the head with all that baggage? You take all the fun out of razzing you, so you do.
Sue's reaction was almost imperceptible. Just a tiny relaxing of muscle. Basically, a smirk. He'd formed a camaraderie with Neve, no matter how messed up. She might drive him nuts, but he took comfort in her flippancy regarding his past. Good to know.
Well, anyway, a revenant couldn't be partially responsible for Tristan because their willies rot off. The mystery continues.
Is that thing going to follow you here?
The cab stopped in front of a busy, upscale club in a hopping neighborhood. Lights flashed, people laughed, bodies crowded the sidewalk. More than Aurora had ever seen in one place, never having traveled to a big city like this. The nightclub scene here was clearly very popular. Sue paused with a foot out of the car, doing a double take back at her. He put out his hand, large and scarred, waiting for her to fill it with her own. But they weren't in the trenches anymore. This was just normal life. Loud, chaotic, busy, but normal. It was outside of her comfort zone, sure, but that was no reason for the Pack Beta to give her special treatment.
Nah, he'll get himself together before he makes contact again. He won't want to risk being told to bugger off because he's not up to standard.
Neve leaned against Aurora to see the meter.
Jesus, I'd expect a happy ending for a price tag that steep. What kind of petrol am I paying for? Rocket fuel?
She handed 2 20s forward.
I guess I don't need the change. Girl, take that lummox's hand so I can drag you out. Hurry up now, let's get cracking. I'm dying of the thirst.
I'm fine. Neve gave her a shove. She sighed, taking Sue's warm hand and letting him help her out of the cab. On the sidewalk, he stayed close, posturing in such a way that the passing guys, their gazes appraising, found somewhere else to look.
This way. Broken Sue, stay at that girl's back, would ya? We don't need one of these dicks grabbing her butt and getting a deserved beating. They won't let us in if she does that.
Sue did as she said, his hand on Aurora's shoulder possessively, his body close behind. A wide berth opened up around them on the busy Los Angeles sidewalk. They threaded through a cluster of people to a bouncer at the front of a long line. Neve yelled something at him, showed him the screen of her phone, and waited while he turned away to talk into his headset. In a moment, they were through. Sue, as big or bigger than their security, broader and more muscular, tougher too, meaner, more vicious. They sized him up as he passed, used to being in charge in this place, but quickly realizing they were outgunned, they dropped their gazes one by one, giving him the respect due to an alpha.
Is it hard for you?
They were guided past a ticket booth and into utter chaos. Colored lights streaked through the air. White lights flashed, people shouted, bodies gyrated. She stopped and then tried to backpedal. Her senses were being assaulted. The noise alone felt like a suffocating bag that had been pulled down over her head.
I've got you.
Sue leaned down so his lips were next to her ear. His body pressed against hers.
Just follow Neve. I'm right here.
He guided her on, pressing through the throng of bodies that Neve somehow didn't seem to notice. They could have been walking into a half-deserted dive bar for all she paid attention to the mayhem.
It's what hard for me.
They slowed when a people jam blocked the way.
Is it hard for you being an alpha with a beta title?
She could barely hear herself over all this noise. And then they were moving again. Aurora grabbing Sue's wrist to keep hold of something.
With beta duties, I mean? You're an alpha, but you don't get the respect of one.
If it had been Tristan's old situation, where the leader wasn't as good or as dominant or as respectable, I wouldn't be here. But this pack, even when it was just a pack, is different. Alpha Steel is more dominant than me, no question. More intense, more vicious, a better leader. Better for the team he and Jesse are putting together. Anytime I think I might be catching up, he bumps the ceiling a little higher. It gives me ample respect, and when we're in the company of other alphas, he treats me as though I'm their equal. He doesn't make a show of my beta title when it's clear I have equal power to another. He only seeks to maintain our hierarchy, which I respect, and the shifters need.
She turned a little to look up at him, gauging his honesty. He held her gaze, clearly knowing why she was looking. His intense, dark eyes were open, entirely serious. He was not just saying any of this for her benefit, or to kiss the butt of the Alpha's niece. You really respect him, huh? His hand shot out, catching a man who was just about to back into her. He gave the man a shove away.
Absolutely.
And being beta to Jesse? His exhale dusted her face as they tried to work through a crowded bar area. He watched the path ahead, catching someone else before they could bump into her and then directing the woman away. The woman turned with a scowl, but her eyes widened at the sight of him. Red infused her cheeks, and it was clear she didn't know whether to be anxious or desirous.
I'm not a beta to Jesse. Jesse doesn't work like that. I'm family. I would follow her into hell, but she would do everything in her power to keep me from trying. She's the glue that keeps the pack together.
and I will help Alpha Steel protect her at all costs.
Hey!
Jasper came out of nowhere, a girl on each arm and lipstick on his jaw. He smiled when he saw them and pulled his arms away from the women, pointing at Aurora.
They've found you! Great! Come on, we're this way.
He spoke to each of the women in turn.
Sorry, but I need to take them in. I'll talk to you in a while, okay? See ya.
He worked them through the crowd faster than Neve had, probably because of his size, before leading them up a set of stairs and into an area with a lot of red ropes. Their crew had taken over the back corner, sitting or standing and looking over the balcony with drinks in hand, many of them swaying to the music. Just inside the rope, Aurora saw that they had their own small but private bar, with a bartender who was currently serving Tristan and a couple other gargoyles. Sue headed that way, and Aurora followed as though caught in his undertow. She wasn't quite ready to be cut loose yet. Her past desire to dance seemed a little too daunting in the insanity of this place. Tristan turned as they got close, his pretty, glowing gaze taking in Sue and then darting down to her. His half-smile dwindled.
What is it?
You need to speak to Neve about a revenant she met at the bar we just came from.
A hard edge lit those glowing amber eyes. Tristan's gaze almost seemed to flash, and power leaked from his person.
A revenant? You're sure?
Well, that's what she said. She knew him. He walked into the bar and sat beside her. We gave her space.
Aurora couldn't hide the smirk at "we gave her space." It wasn't a lie. Her subtle tell was too subtle for Tristan to pick up on, thankfully. He was learning fast, but he had a ways to go. He wouldn't know they'd been cowering in the back. Sue looked down at her, though, catching it. His eyes glittered for a brief moment before he went back to business.
You should probably talk to her before you two take this to the Alphas.
It was clear that he was passing off an ultimatum. You'd better take it to the Alphas, or I will. Aurora turned to Tristan, and Sue adjusted his body to give her a bit of space. Are those things bad news?
If you've wronged them, yes. I assume this one beat the grave? It captured its vengeance already.
Long past, I'm given to understand. Neve didn't seem comfortable around it. Said it would be hard to kill.
Tristan took a deep breath and held it for a moment. Oh yeah, this was bad news. Or good news, if it could be brought around to their benefit.
They're wily above all. It isn't their power that's the problem, or their magic. It's how they prey on their targets. They have a supernatural ability to seek out their enemy, blend in, and then kill when least expected. If you were to engage one with any kind of aggression, you'd better kill it then and there. Because if you didn't, your chances of survival would be dismal. Eyes in the back of your head wouldn't be enough.
You sound like you're talking from experience. His posture screamed, danger. Tread lightly.
I was a mark once. I killed it in its life, and then I killed it in its afterlife. Not many people are that lucky.
Let's hope we don't have to be.
Sue angled a bit closer to Aurora. He was still playing protector, probably because of her affiliation to her auntie and uncle. She needed to cut him loose. Babysitting wasn't part of his job.
Okay, well...
She took a step away.
I'll leave you two to it.
With that, she turned, immediately bumping into Jasper, followed closely by Ulrich.
Hey! Just the lovely lady I was looking for. Neve said you needed help finding a dark corner.
He spread his palm across his chest.
Is that to bang me, specifically? Or are you looking for help finding someone else? Either way, I'm in. It'll be easy, too. This place is full of corners and willing partners.
It's very easy to find a willing partner. I mean, besides us, because we're always willing. But any dick here would follow a woman blindly, it seems like.
Very sexually frustrated.
Well, yeah. They go about it all wrong. They're sleazy and pushy and act like they're trying to steal something.
Did you hear that one guy? He called the girl a slut when she wouldn't give him any. Which is the very definition of not being a slut.
That means he thought she would be an easy lay, got pissed when she saw through him, and then tried to shame her for his crushed ego. Small dick energy.
Well, right, but how are you gonna look down on women for banging and at the same time expect to be banged? There is zero logic there. Zero. Celebrate the fuck. That's what you gotta do. Celebrate the ladies who will give you the fuck. These guys are making their lives infinitely harder. It's very confusing.
But helpful for us.
This is true. Janes are even easier to please than shifters. Anyway, Aurora, all of that aside, you can have any dick you want on account of your being super hot. Or us, obviously. We'll get you that big O, no problem. You're not as tightly wound as you usually seem.
He used two fingers to point at her eyes.
I see that glitter, baby.
We just need a direction so we know how best to fulfill your needs.
She stared at them incredulously, which they wouldn't know because they were not nearly as good at reading body language as Tristan. I kinda just want to have fun without it getting back to my dad. Like dancing. Slow dancing. Ulrich pointed at her, his eyebrows raised.
Grinding? Is that what you're really saying? I can't tell.
Come on.
Jasper took her hand, heading toward the rope.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, but being down there stresses me out.
We got you, baby girl.
Ulrich put his hands on her shoulders.
We'll be your bumpers. It'll be okay. You'll see.
Aurora glanced back at Sue as she let Jasper pull her along. He stood at the bar by himself, drink in hand, watching her go. If their positions in the pack were different, she'd drag him with her or stall the guys for a bit and go hang out with him until he found another group to join. But he was the beta, and she was a nobody right now. Pack protocol said that she needed to give him distance, regardless of how he'd helped her not 1 hour ago. With a sigh, she followed Jasper and let herself laugh as she did so. Neve had been right. These guys seemed like the cruise directors for people who wanted to let their hair down. She'd found exactly what she'd been hoping for.